Morning and welcome to our podcast. My name is David Pritchard. I'm the head of marketing here at Sentence. Our podcast today is episode 6 of our Rural Roundup with Tom Wills podcast series. And I'm joined again today by partner and head of the agriculture, rural and estates team at Sentence, Tom Wills, and his colleague, Sam Watts, who is a solicitor specializing in land, property and rural matters here at Sentence. Podcast today will last approximately 10 to 15 minutes, and Tom and Sam are going to talk about public rights of way changes to the definitive map. So without any further ado, Tom, straight over to you.
Thanks, David. This, I think, is something that's really crucial to consider. It's something that is on the radar for a lot of professionals, a lot of landowners at the moment, but some perhaps not as aware of what's going on. It really is a wide-springing change. There's a lot of talk on the agenda, on the political agenda about changing land ownership from the last two governments to opposition parties. So I think it's pertinent to check. This is something that's been in the process for a while and is a long-running process. But what we wouldn't want to do, if the clock was ticking, was for you to miss the opportunity to object to certain matters, certainly if it affects your land. So broadly, the definitive map, and my colleague Sam will go into this in more detail, is a system showing which public rights of way actually exist over the country. So if there's a public footpath running somewhere, that should be recorded on the definitive map, essentially giving the public said right, or recording said right for the public. It's become of specific pertinence because some public rights of way fall out of use, become obsolete, are closed up, for example. So an accurate record is important. But at the same time, you want to make sure your land is protected and you're not allowing unnecessary rights to accrue, because that can impact on development value, it can impact upon your land, it can impact upon your usage, etc. So it's important for a number of reasons. It's particularly pertinent at the moment because they're trying to finalise that, and at the same time there have been a lot of applications, if you like, flooding in from a number of organisations who are trying to record rights that they use. The British Horse Society, for example, along with other organisations, have put a number of applications in to record existing rights of way that are used that they feel are not recorded correctly. But also there's been some discussion about some organisations perhaps trying to expand upon rights of way that are there, or expand upon public rights to increase the usage and span, which is obviously a potential concern to landowners. So if you are getting notices through your door that people have made applications affecting your land, then you need to act on them, not just sit on them. You tend to have a period of time within which you can respond. Sometimes you're almost too early if you act quickly. I think the best course of action is to be armed with what you need to do, some information. And if you're not able to respond directly to the process yet, because sometimes there's a period of time to wait, be ready, alert and aware of what you may need to do at the correct time. So I'm going to go into have a discussion with Sam, who's been looking into this in a lot of detail. If you do want to kind of speak to the team at Sintons, please do get in touch with us, and we'll hopefully shed a bit more light on something that is very pertinent, but perhaps clouded or shrouded by an 80, 100-page, 150-page government document that I'm sure you're all delighted and looking forward to reading. So hopefully we can give you a bit of information out of it. Okay, so Sam, just to give a bit of a breakdown, I mean, I've touched upon this in a way, but in terms of the definitive map and the statement that goes with it, what exactly is it, and how can it be accessed? How can a party's access be altered, essentially?
Hi guys, thanks for that, Tom. The definitive map and statement is essentially a conclusive legal record of the recorded rights of way throughout the country. And during this podcast, it might be useful to refer to the definitive map and statement as the map, as it is quite a bit of a mouthful, and it might last forever if we keep referring to it as the definitive map and statement. So in short, if a right of way is shown on the definitive map and statement, it is absolute proof that a public right of way is in place for public use. Of course, what it can't show is the position on the ground, and in particular, the condition and repair that a particular right of way is in at any given time. The definitive map and statement is usually accessible via the relevant county council. So for example, in Durham, the Durham County Council will hold a definitive map and statement. They'll regulate access to the map. sometimes councils hold a definitive mapping statement on the website, which is very easily accessible, and that's probably the preferable option for us guys dealing with it, or possibly anyone that's listening trying to access. If you can't find the definitive mapping statement on the local authority's website, then you may have to get in touch with the council direct and ask them for a copy, which is usually available to inspect. Of course, we can help you guys with that as well. So the first definitive mapping and statement was drawn up in 1952. However, legislation now obliges local authorities to update the maps and keep them under continuous review. In theory, this should provide transparency and certainty to landowners and the public. However, in practice, we do see many problems arising from this system. In particular, some may say that the system presents difficulties and unfairness to landowners who are subject to claims for a right of way to be recorded over their land.
Thanks, Sam. That's right. And I know we've had a number of clients who've had applications made have come to us for advice. And if that's something that's happening to you, please do get in touch. And I think something pertinent coming out from what you're saying there was irrespective of where you are in the country. So we've got a lot of clients in Northumberland, a lot of clients in Yorkshire, a lot of clients in Cumbria and all throughout the country. But essentially, it's their local authority, the local council, who should have the relevant information for that area. Say, for example, it might be one of the borough councils if it's further south, for example. But make sure you've got the right local authority, and it should be them who govern it. It sounds like a relatively straightforward system when we put it and break it down like that. Often, of course, that's not necessarily always the case with these things. The problems that you kind of would suggest that may arise in relation to the system, how might they come about?
Yeah, well, you've put that very well, Tom. I mean, in theory, the system does sound great. However, land isn't often best represented by maps and aerial images, because the position on the ground is often very different and the position on the ground is often ever changing. An example could be a historic path that is noted on the map. However, it could have fallen into disrepair over the years and it's became overgrown with trees and bushes. And to the naked eye, it simply doesn't resemble a footpath. So the position on a map could be very, very different to the position on the ground. This can, of course, cause issues for landowners, as they could be inadvertently blocking or restricting a public footpath that's noted on the definitive map. Similarly, applications can be made for new rights of way to be recorded on the map that members of the public believe should be there or may have been in situ historically. Again, this may be a cause for concern for landowners if this particular right of way crosses the land. Understandably, landowners are likely to oppose a new right of way being recorded over the land. They may have other plans for the land, or they may already be using the land for other purposes that the official recording of a right of way over may possibly interfere with. Rights of way that have not been used for a long period of time can possibly be rediscovered, meaning that they will need to be opened up again, which could create chaos if the land is being used for commercial purposes or if it's otherwise occupied by a landowner. Historic rights of way that have not been used in living memory may also be claimed for and reinstated on the map. Some landowners may dispute that right of way ever existed. If there's no living memory of the right of way being in situ and it's recorded on the definitive map, you can envisage the problems that this may cause. There may be no physical evidence of the right of way over the land, and this can at times seem unfair if a member of the public is trying to reinstate this particular path. Land also changes over time, whether that's through use, erosion, human alteration. So an example of this could be a river may meander and over time cut into a public right of way. This right of way then may be impossible to be followed, and the map may have to be changed in that regard.
Thanks, Sam. That's very interesting. And I think in terms of things that could affect someone, you could in theory have a scenario where a right of way has, or a public right hasn't been used, or an alleged public right hasn't been used for say 50 years. Client or landowner may have purchased land, farm, for example, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, without any knowledge in their working ownership of this, or perhaps even their predecessor. How would they ever have known about that? So it's important. And then somebody trying to look to register said right would presumably have to try and document some evidence for that. But I think a key message is, if somebody is trying to make an application, don't just put your head in the sand. Do consider it. If it's fair, it may well be fair. If it isn't, there is an opportunity to object to that. And we would suggest that you perhaps should do that if it's something that's worth doing, because it could have an impact upon your usage, ownership, value, etc. And it may well yield, if it is registered, greater use of that, which would have a greater impact. It would seem from what you say, Sam, that there could be a requirement, as things ever change, to almost constantly amend the public map, perhaps, which would give landowners issues because, you know, a lot of land ownership requires certainty so that you know what you can do. For example, how can members of the public essentially look to change the map? Because I think people would like some clarity on that.
Yeah, Tom, as you said, the definitive map should in theory be constantly changing because the position on the ground of certain bits of land is constantly changing. It can be changed using a definitive map modification order, which is an order authorised under the Wildlife and Countryside Act 1981. So as we previously discussed, the local authority, the relevant local authorities are required to keep the map under review under this piece of legislation, but the public also have an avenue to enact change through one of these orders. Similarly, the map can be amended through a public path order. This avenue allows a public right of way to be diverted if this is in the interest of the public or the landowner. Now, as we've previously discussed, landowners may be concerned about these kind of orders being made against their land. Landowners may currently be experiencing a large bulk of historic right-of-way applications through modification orders. This is, as Tom's previously touched on, this is a consequence of the Countryside and Rights-of-Way Act 2000, which implements a provisional cut-off date of the 1st of January 2026 for the recording of historic rights-of-way. This is, in the main, welcome news to landowners because after this date, public will no longer be able to apply for changes to the definitive map using these avenues. However, the news has understandably been met with an influx of applications to amend the map based on historic rights of way. So as you can imagine, landowners are probably quite happy about the news, but at the same time, they may be experiencing a large amount of applications at present to amend the definitive map, possibly in regards to their own land. So at Sittings, we have received numerous instructions from landowners who have received notifications of such orders, and if successful, they could affect the land. On the back of that, we would urge any landowner who has received a similar notification or who has concerns regarding rights of way over the land to contact an agricultural or land lawyer to discuss the position and explore potential options. This is, of course, something that we would be more than happy to assist with. It is important to note that objections can be made on these type of applications. So you can object to these type of applications and we can help you with that.
Thanks, Sam. And I think that is something I would really echo. You know, please don't sit on your hands on these things. And I think some of the key phrases to take from that is, if you get something through your door that says Wildlife and Countryside Act 1981, it's got the wording definitive map modification order or public path order on it. It's probably not something just to chuck straight in the waste disposal without possibly having a chat with one of us or at least considering it. Even if you are getting a number of them, and if you get 5 or 10 of these, they might not all be about the same thing. They might be about different public paths. So please do look at them. If you want to come and chat to us about them, then of course we'd be happy to do that. This leads us nicely on to another podcast that we're going to do in the series quite shortly. I want to focus a little bit more in a bit more detail about options that you may have as a landowner, that if you are either subject to an order or do receive said order, or application for order, I should perhaps say, through the post, then what do you do? We'll have a little bit more of a look at those options and actions that you can potentially take. So thank you, Sam. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I'll pass back to David briefly just to do our closing. If you want to get in touch with us, please do so. You've got our normal details. David will hand them out now. It's a bit of a mouthful for me to do, but thank you again for listening.
Thanks very much, guys. Appreciate that. Just very quickly for me, we release our webinars, podcasts and blogs on a regular basis, all of which can be found on our website, www.sintons.co.uk, should you wish to take a look. And you can also follow the rural team on Twitter at Sintons Rural. As Tom mentioned, if you'd like to discuss anything with the guys at Race Today further, please don't hesitate to get in touch via telephone, both 0191-226-7878, and via email, tom.wills@sintons.co.uk and sam.watts@sintons.co.uk. That's all from us. Thanks very much for listening. I look forward to speaking to you in a couple of weeks' time. Stay safe, everyone.
Thank you.